of the practice of using the set readings in the lectionary, because it forces me out of my comfort zone. I think if I'd have given myself the option, I could have avoided that gospel reading from Luke this morning, and chosen one of my favourite Bible stories, and we'd have all been much more comfortable, perhaps. But I didn't. It's a discipline that I like. And it's all about leaving our comfort zones. And also, just before we get into sermon, a little warning. I had my trial service at Hove the end of July, and one of the common bits of feedback that I get is, oh, we wish you could stay away from your notes a bit more. So I've really taken that to heart, and I'm not going to read my notes as much. I've just made some more scant notes. You've all been part of my journey as a local preacher, so thank you for that. And now you're entering into unknown territory with me. Who knows how long this sermon's going to go on for? Could be 5 minutes. Could be a lot longer. Anyway. That's the health warning done with. So, if I were to go out into St. James's Street right now and conduct a little poll and say, "What, even to unbelievers, what do you think the mission of Jesus was all about?" I reckon they would probably say, well, peace, love, justice to the poor, hope for the world, those kind of things. How many do you think would say, oh yes, it was clearly to bring about fire and division? You know, that's not a popular sort of view that we have of the teachings of Jesus, is it? I'm going to look at that a bit more. And it really is, in a sense, a difficult message to stomach in what feels like a very divided world too. So just to set a little bit of context to this, where this reading comes, it comes as part of Jesus' long journey into Jerusalem. And this is a journey that's both physical and spiritual. And along the way, there's many teachings and encounters. And there's this growing sense of urgency. Jesus is preparing his followers for a costly discipleship. And then he talks about his baptism, and by that he means his death. He's also told parables like the one of the rich fool that we would have had possibly a few weeks ago, where he warns against our me nature and storing up our treasures for ourselves. And not getting distracted by comfort, but being ready for something. And today, in today's reading, that warning intensifies. And Jesus says it will inevitably cause division. It will disrupt families. But also he warns the crowd that they must be ready to interpret the signs of their times, because something of cosmic importance is about to happen. So if discipleship is urgent and costly, what does Jesus mean by fire and division? Well, to help me explore that, I'm going to transport you now to the Newport Folk Festival in 1965. Has anyone watched the recent Bob Dylan film, A Complete Unknown? Brilliant. I thought it was wonderful. I really loved it. It tells the story of Bob arriving in Greenwich Village in 1961 as a complete unknown. And in 4 short years, he's become a folk superstar. And then he's playing at the Newport Folk Festival, and he does the unthinkable. He plugs in an electric guitar, and it causes a riot. P- People are shouting Judas at him. They feel like they've been betrayed. But Bob's aim wasn't to cause a riot. Bob was a man just focused on his music, and he felt that Maggie's farm needed electric guitars. And of course, he changed the world at that very moment. That is the sort of division I think Jesus is talking about. Not the division caused by those politicians, commentators, or celebrities who are always trying to divide people by saying deliberately provocative things. Jesus's division is not the goal, but it's the inevitable byproduct of following him. And Jesus's image of fire is not a destructive one. It's not like a forest fire burning everything in its wake. It's a fire that is purifying and transformational. He's saying that God's kingdom is not about business as usual, but with different branding. He's talking about totally radical change, where inequality, injustice, and hypocrisy are burnt away. And the effect will be liberating on us and our communities, but the process will be uncomfortable, maybe painful. Jesus pulls no punches in warning us about this. He confronts our entrenched behaviour, talking about the effect on family loyalties, cultural norms, challenging unjust systems. The division is inevitable, but God's love aims to bring reconciliation and wholeness. And the ultimate goal is, of course, not division, but a world, a kingdom, where we are all united in Christ. God's love being the glue that holds us together through our struggles and through our differences. Faith and love creates a tension. It means that we will be called to make tough choices. And love calls us to seek peace and understanding. This tension isn't a contradiction, it's part of a faithful Christian life. And this disruption isn't new. God's people have always found that faith brings division. And Hebrews gives us a good list of divisive characters from the Old Testament. It's saying that faith isn't passive, it's active, it does disrupt, it takes sides and it divides us. And the great cloud of witnesses listed didn't cause division because they were contrarians. They caused division because they were faithful to God. So Moses defied Pharaoh and later faced challenges to his leadership in the wilderness. Gideon smashed up his own town's idols. Barak trusted a woman's command in battle. And Samuel spoke God's hard truth to kings. Every one of them found that faithfulness to God drew a line in the sand for them. Their faith divided families and even unsettled entire nations. They were divisive because they were faithful. Jesus also talks about reading the signs of the times. He rebukes them for being able to read the weather, but not recognizing God's work in Jesus. So what are the signs we don't often read? And I'm not talking about keep off the grass, or push or pull on a shop door, or wet paint, and then you have a sneaky little just to check. Not those kind of signs. But there are big signs in our world today. We have polarized politics, we have the refugee crisis, there's climate change, and I could go on and on. Or more locally, there's divisive signs within Methodism and perhaps within our churches. Those signs are things that we can't ignore. because ignoring the signs lets harm continue. Our faith helps us to read the signs of the kingdom breaking through, even when it causes division. And this is a painful but necessary stage in the unfolding story of God's salvation. It's as if Jesus is saying, these signs are holding up a mirror to us. Take notice. God's love is dynamic and it's active. It's challenging and it confronts us. God is calling us to live outside our comfort zones. And Jesus' disruption is when love refuses to ignore harm and injustice. It's not a comfort blanket like my sermon notes might have become. It holds up a mirror to our lives and asks us searching questions. And in Hebrews, in verse 1 in chapter 11, it says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Truth faith sharpens our spiritual vision. It helps us to see God in the now, not just in hindsight. And Jesus here is revealing his intense desire for us, a desire for the world's healing and well-being. One of the signs we can often find ourselves at is a crossroads sign. And these often bring division because they can signify a time of change between the old ways and new, or the status quo, or acting against injustice, or our particular comfort zone and hearing God's call for us. Faith gives us courage to choose God's way, even if it divides, and it gives us hope in new life, and it gives us restoration. So to conclude, we're not called to passively believe in Jesus. We're called to follow him. To follow him into the fire that transforms, the path that risks division. The division that a life of faith and integrity may bring. Jesus certainly doesn't call us to be comfortable Christians. He calls us to be courageous Christians. So let us read the signs so our faith can sharpen our vision, and let God's Spirit move us from fear and apathy into action. This means we're called to speak the truth, to stand with the hurting and the marginalized. We're called to challenge what is wrong, and we're called to love boldly. It's a risky business, but that's what we're called to do. Jesus calls us to follow with a faith that may well divide, but with a love that can transform our broken world. As Hebrews reminds us, we can run this race marked out for us because we fix our eyes not on the fire or the division, but on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. We are surrounded by witnesses who risk everything for the sake of God's kingdom, and we're called to join their number, to step into that refining fire, to speak the truth that heals, and love with the courage that unites, to fix our eyes on Jesus and run into God's love. Jesus never promised us comfort. He promised us the kingdom. The road there will cause division and it will demand courage. But it will also be filled with love powerful enough to heal the world. So this week, don't just believe in Jesus, follow him into the transforming fire and embrace the risk and the love that does transform. Let your faith be bold enough to divide and your love be strong enough to unite. Amen. Let us pray.